From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, August 12th. I'm Abby Larico. Today, an update on the SLPS school closures plan, how lawmakers are helping communities navigate a future landscape dotted with data centers, and why a well-known food festival is taking a year off. And this year, lawmakers in several Midwest states have tried and failed to ban paraquat. That's a toxic weed killer that's been tied to Parkinson's disease. Among them, a state senator who's living with Parkinson's. He says he plans to keep fighting.
This isn't about me. It's about anybody that is exposed to paraquat, whether it's me or not, that the health of the common good was important.
The tie between paraquat and Parkinson's, coming up on The Gateway. The sweltering heat is sticking around a while longer. The National Weather Service this morning extended the extreme heat warning for the St. Louis metro area another day, now through tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. The National Weather Service office explains that even the chance for storms today won't be enough to knock down expected high temperatures. Dangerous heat index values are expected to stick around through the weekend, so continue to plan to limit outdoor activities during the day's hottest hours, check on people vulnerable to these extreme temperatures, and stay hydrated. The heat advisories for Quincy and Rolla have also been extended through Thursday and Friday, respectively. St. Louis Public School officials announced a new timeline for school closures during its monthly board meeting last night. As STLPR's Hiba Ahmed reports, the decision comes after the district faced community pushback.
The district will now bring a final proposal for school closures in mid-October. That's more than a month later than it originally planned. Superintendent Myra Berry said the district will continue to engage the community, but ultimately needs to move forward with consolidation.
Our responsibility is not simply to make the decision that creates the least discomfort today. Our responsibility is to make the decision that gives the district and our students the strongest future for tomorrow.
The district favors a model that preserves some elementary, middle, and high schools as the best path forward, but has not finalized its plan. The model will also add some consolidated schools that serve pre-kindergarten through 8th grade students. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Colombians with St. Louis ties are among the millions in the country trying to recover after a deadly 7.4 magnitude earthquake hit the country Monday morning. The quake's epicenter was on the western side of the country. The Colombian president declared a state of emergency. The earthquake's tremors could be felt in the nation's capital of Bogota, more than 150 miles east of the epicenter. Diana Perez is a former assistant professor at Washington University who lives in Bogota and says many, including her cousins, were displaced.
We couldn't reach them because their cell phones were dead and they didn't have any chargers. So we didn't hear from them until probably around 2 p.m.
At least 111 people have been killed in the earthquake. Several detainees at the St. Louis City Jail completed a 10-week class aimed to set them up for success as they re-enter society after their sentences. STLPR's Lucretia Wimbley was at the graduation for the Prison to Prosperity program yesterday, offered by the St. Louis Agency on Training and Employment, also known as SLATE.
Nearly a dozen detainees wearing black t-shirts with the word SLATE on them entered the room as program leaders cheer. This day marked the moment they graduated from the 10-week Prison to Prosperity program, where each resident gained life skills tailored to their personal goals. Detainee Ralph Quinn is one of the graduates. He says he learned change is possible.
That our past don't define us, that we're moving forward.
Michael Hollins is another program graduate.
First, we got to do better for ourselves first, and then our family come behind us. So being a provider for our family and knowing that where we're trying to go in life.
SLATE leaders say they keep in contact with graduates after they're released and help them with things like resumes and getting IDs. I'm Lucretia Wimbley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri House Future Caucus has released a guide to help communities vet potential data center projects. The framework is like a checklist helping direct local leaders to ask data center developers about critical aspects of the projects, like water protections, tax incentives, and infrastructure costs. Representative Scott Miller of St. Charles County says he and his colleagues tried to take a neutral approach as they put this guide together.
There's a lot of emotion that flies around about these data centers. At the end of the day, they're just industrial developments. And industrial developments can do good things, and industrial developments can do bad things.
The lawmakers also said they are shaping bills related to AI and data centers that they will introduce for Missouri's next legislative session. The Taste of St. Louis will once again actually be held in the city of St. Louis when it returns in 2027. That's one of the changes the food festival's new owners promise. It's been held at various locations in recent years. STLPR's Jeremy Goodwin has more.
New festival owners Dustin Rao and Patrick Zundell, who are local event planners, say they're skipping this year to revamp Taste of St. Louis and return in 2027 at a St. Louis park. Zundell says high fees charged to food vendors in the past encouraged them to sell larger, full-priced portions, leading the festival away from the idea of patrons sampling from various local eateries.
You know, in a perfect world, we would just land a huge sponsor and we could just invite all the restaurants to be there for free. We've also talked about potential of a revenue split. We're hoping that if we can just kind of lower that barrier of entry, we can coax out a situation where this is an actual tasting event.
Other changes include letting vendors sell alcoholic drinks and moving the event from mid-August to the fall. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Rolla's Veterans Park includes monuments to the men and women who have served in almost every aspect of the armed forces. As STLPR's Jonathan All reports, now four-legged service members are getting their recognition.
Joining the park's dozen granite monuments is one dedicated to military service dogs. It was an Eagle Scout project of 15-year-old Mason Hertz of Rolla. He says it was an immediate idea when he was looking for a capstone project to earn scouting's highest honor.
Ever since I was a little kid, I loved dogs, and I found out they were in the military, and so I started reading books, movies, and it just kind of fell in. Someone brought something up, and it just kind of clicked in my head, and I took action and did it.
Hertz raised all of the money and worked with a veterans group that maintains the park to arrange for the design, creation, and installation of the monument. The National U.S. War Dogs Association is praising Hertz for adding the memorial to the site. In Rolla, I'm Jonathan All, St. Louis Public Radio.
Exposure to a highly toxic weed killer called paraquat is tied to a person's risk of developing Parkinson's disease. Lawmakers in Missouri and other Midwestern states have tried to pass measures banning paraquat, but as the Midwest Newsroom's Luke Nozika reports, their efforts have stalled this year.
Art Stade first noticed trouble with his fine motor skills 2 years ago when he started struggling to write.
And then there were other people in the community. I'm out in the community a lot, and they noticed changes in my standing and walking.
A neurologist pointed out that Stade's facial expressions had changed. He didn't blink as often, and his balance was off. He went to the University of Iowa's Medical Center, where he was diagnosed with Parkinson's, the fastest-growing neurodegenerative disease in the world.
It affects all kinds of things. Your movements, your balance, your nerve, your response to your brain. Wanting your hand to move, and it doesn't, it freezes, or your foot freezes, so you stumble.
Stade is among more than 1 million Americans who live with the progressive disease. He's also an Iowa State Senator, which uniquely positions him to advocate for people with Parkinson's. As of 2023, just a handful of lawmakers nationwide had ever disclosed a Parkinson's diagnosis while in office. Last session, Stade introduced a bill that would have banned the use of paraquat, a highly toxic herbicide that researchers have linked to an increased risk of developing Parkinson's. It is banned in more than 70 countries across the world.
This isn't about me, it's about anybody that is exposed to paraquat, whether it's me or not, that the health of the common good was important.
Stade does not know what caused his Parkinson's, and he did not grow up near a farm. But the correlation between Parkinson's and paraquat is of particular interest to Midwesterners, as Nebraska and Kansas have the highest rates of Parkinson's in the U.S., according to a 2025 study. Those living with the disease include about 10,000 Iowans, nearly 9,000 Kansans, more than 20,000 Missourians, and about 6,100 Nebraskans. Stade isn't alone in his efforts to ban paraquat. Lawmakers in at least 10 states, including Missouri and Illinois, have proposed restricting its use or sale. Three other states floated outlawing its application near schools. But despite growing concerns about the weed killer, Vermont is the only state that has banned it.
It is so closely connected to not just Parkinson's disease, but other health harms. And ultimately, this is a tool that needs replacing in the toolbox.
That's Jeff Horsfield, the legislative director for the Environmental Working Group, which has pushed for paraquat bans. He said while the EPA is reevaluating paraquat's safety, people who live near farms where paraquat is applied can't afford to wait for the federal agency to act. Data shows that while paraquat's use more than doubled in recent years, it accounts for only 2% of all pesticides applied across the U.S. Horsfield described it as an uncommon but dangerous chemical.
We also know that paraquat can cause other health harms, including threats to kidneys, thyroid. It's an endocrine disruptor. It's also been connected to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and other types of cancers.
In Iowa, Stade's paraquat bill did not pass. One lawmaker who worked as a farmer told him it'd be a slippery slope that could lead to banning other pesticides. But proponents say outlawing paraquat has not harmed the food and agricultural industries in other nations, like Brazil. And they say there are safer options from other herbicides to non-chemical methods.
I'm saying this is such a simple thing to do. It can really affect, well, if it affected one person's life or one family, then not having to have this disease, it's worth it.
Stade plans to introduce a paraquat ban again next session in Des Moines. I'm Luke Nozica, the Midwest Newsroom.
The Midwest Newsroom is a collaboration including NPR and member stations in Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri, and is a member of the Trust Project. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Our music's by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Lurico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway. Have a great Wednesday.